We're live, everybody. Welcome in. It is Friday, October 10th, 12:03 p.m. Central. Thank you so much for joining us. We haven't done a live stream on this channel in a minute, and it's really good to have you guys here. I am surrounded by the almost bearded crew, because Chuck has an excuse about being an airline pilot, so, you know, we'll let it go. We got Chuck Cook from Chuck Cook. We got Chris from Dirty Tesla. We got Sawyer Merritt from Sawyer Merritt. And we got JD, aka AI Driver. All these guys are fantastic creators on YouTube and on X. They follow the Tesla FSD story very, very closely, as I'm sure a lot of you know. And the reason why we're all together in this group is because Tesla has just released FSD V14, which Elon Musk has called the version that's going to make Tesla vehicles, aka sentient. And so what we're going to do on this call is to go through everyone's experiences so far, highlight the positives, highlight the negatives. We're going to try to figure out, okay, how close are we to unsupervised autonomy with Tesla vehicles? How close are we to robotaxi potentially proliferating in a greater way? How much of a differentiator this is going to be for Tesla vehicles long term, and highlight anything else that may come up. And I'll try my best to bring in comments as the conversation goes through. And also we'll make sure to do a Q&A at the end. And we'll start by going around the horn here. We'll bring in Chuck first to share his overall thoughts. We'll go down with Chris, JD, Sawyer, and then we'll turn this into a more free-flow conversation. So, Chuckster, how is FSD V14 for you, my friend? Tell us.
Woohoo! Well, hey, everybody, it's Chuck. I at least started off that way. It's good to see you guys. Part of that, thanks for bringing this group together. What a great group to stand next to talk about FSD 14. First of all, it was a long wait. 13.29 was long in the tooth by the time FSD 14 came around. We knew it was coming, but guess what? It was not a bad version to wait on for so long. 13.29 really, really was polished. It was smooth. It did great on the highway, but it still didn't do the beginning and end of drive. So you still kind of felt like you had to kind of baby it to get out on the road. And once you got out on the road, it did its thing. But boy, did 14.1, which is the version we're on now, all of us. And I'm driving an AI 4 Model Y without a fascia camera. So the 2024 Model Y, I do not have a Juniper yet. I'm thinking hard about that right now. But in any case, I think that 14.1 brought the beginning end of the drives into the picture. So now it's a press from start, backs out of a very narrow driveway I have with grass on both sides that before it would not even budge because it kind of didn't detect the drivable surface. You know, just to quickly highlight where it's doing great on the unprotected left turns. You guys know me for it's done great on all of my drives. I definitely have noticed from my perspective, it's hesitant to change lanes like it used to. So 13.29 would aggressively accelerate into a gap with its blinker on, like, you know, into a, it's like this version doesn't do it. It needs more space. And I think many of other of you have seen that sort of behavior too. And we're definitely feeling everything that the neural network brain is thinking with these brake taps. Some people are using harsh braking or phantom braking. I'm hesitant to use either of those words because we've used them in the past to describe what we were feeling. This is different than that. This is truly point decisions that we're feeling with brake taps as an interpretation. I think, Dirty, you described it very good on your video, so I'll maybe roll it to you to talk a little bit more about how you're describing it. But we are feeling some roughness on the braking, but both of those issues in my mind are not safety related. They're cautious. They're a little bit protective. Perhaps if someone is very close tailgating you, there could be some sort of a risk. But I said send it wide, at least to the early access group, because it was safe. But it looks like they've stopped the rollout, and maybe we're going to get a 14.2 in the next few days.
Chris, let's bring you in. What's your overall thoughts here so far with 14?
Yeah, thank you so much. So 14.1 has been really good, surprisingly good. As Chuck said, we were on the last version for a long time and it worked really well. So it wasn't, you know, we're all excited, the people here especially, and I'm sure a lot of people watching are just excited to get new things and try new things. But 13.29 worked great. And so it was an okay version to be on. But 14.1 brings so much more and adds so many smarts and new abilities with beginning and end of drive that I'm excited to get it. I would not want to go back despite the little hiccups we're definitely seeing. And, you know, people were asking, should they send it out, you know, to more people? And I haven't had any safety things besides the little brakes, which I'll touch on in a second. So I think there's kind of two camps. Like if you're like us and you want the latest software and you want to test it and be nerdy, then yeah, definitely those people would want it. But if there are, I don't think there's a whole lot of this second group, but that there are people out there that are more like end consumers that just enjoy the FSD and want to use it as a finished product, they would not want this because there is a lot of weird quirks that, you know, as a tester, you're like, oh, this is fascinating. This is interesting. Like, look how cool or bad or whatever. But as an end user, you wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want to be dealing with those things. So beginning and end of drive is great. And it's interesting because the last version could do some of these things a little bit. So like what Chuck just said, you know, I have a gravel driveway, I park on concrete, but there's grass close by on the right as I'm backing out. And then there's a lot of gravel and stuff. And 13.29, if I turned on FSD from park, it would start to back up. And it did get out of my driveway a couple of times, but it would usually get stuck because it was too scared to get close to the grass. Whereas every single time I've used 14.1, it's able to back out, turn around and leave my driveway like without a hiccup. It's really good at it. I will touch on the brake stabbing. I think we've all shown it in videos, at least me and JD and Chuck for sure. I don't know if Sawyer's shown it or talked about it yet, but it's, to me, it feels like FSD reacts to the environment so quickly that you're seeing its reactions and decisions and perception play out in real time really quickly. So in older versions, if you're on 13.2.9, you know that if something pops out or the light changes or something and you're like locked on, you can react before FSD. It's pretty close, but we're still faster. With 14, it's hard for me to say. I don't have enough driving to be like, oh, it's definitely can do things faster than me, but it feels like it can react to things faster than me. And if not, it's almost the same as me. And where that really comes into play, which we've talked about in the past, is FSD is always looking everywhere. So if I'm looking straight ahead and something's coming from the side that I don't see, it's going to react to it real quickly. And I think what it feels like to me, I'm totally guessing, is the little brake incidents. They're like brake off really quickly. It's like the car is making these decisions so fast that even if I made the decisions as fast, I couldn't move my foot, you know, on and off the brake that quickly. So that's kind of my guess there. But end of drive also is awesome. And I'm supposed to add, I'm driving mostly a 2026 Model Y with the front bumper camera, but we also have a 2023 Model Y without a front bumper camera that also has 14.1. And so the last thing I'll say is the beginning and end of drive is helps a lot, especially the end of drive, because it will pick a parking spot or pull off on the side of the road or whatever it needs to do. And it's really good at it. It's had some awkward decisions. I haven't been able to post all my clips yet. But sometimes it's kind of weird. And I think the last kind of step for that is them adding like, I prefer the back of the parking lot or the front. I prefer you to back in or anything like that. And it's going to feel like a really like completed product. It'll be really nice.
Awesome. Yeah. JD, let's go ahead and bring you in. Overall thoughts and yeah, take it.
Yeah, I have a 2023 Model Y, so no front bumper camera. Version 14 has been absolutely insane in many ways. I've kind of had to recalibrate how I think about full self-driving a couple of times. I actually did work on a video for quite a long time the day after we got it to kind of summarize my thoughts. And I was like, no, I'll just take it on another drive just to see. And every time I take it on a drive, I kind of have to recalibrate what I think about it, because it's... and man, the longer I use it, the more and more it feels like there's something alive in there who's truly in the background, like making human decisions. Like, and I definitely agree with everybody that it's, you know, does have some issues. It's hesitant with lane changes again, which we haven't seen for a while. It stabs the brakes very, very suddenly and sometimes very aggressively for like a period of like 0.2 seconds, and then it'll just continue driving. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen the war meme, the guy in the helmet, like it kind of drives like that. Like it's seen some shit is how it drives. It seems like it's finally understanding how dangerous driving actually is. And it's understanding all these nuances that it's never understood before, where version 13 is fine sailing through what we would perceive as danger because it just doesn't know any better. I'm sure you've seen the railroad crossings and this and that, where version 14, you can truly feel it. Like you can truly feel it thinking about these things. I hate to use the word thinking, but I don't know how else to say it. Like you can, especially like if you, I don't know, it's something you have to kind of be in the car for. There's a lot of people wishing that they have it right now and they'd send it wide. I've seen a lot of posts on X like, oh, I have a road trip coming up. I wish I had version 14. Like, be careful what you wish for. I am In my impression, version 13 is a much better driver assist. If I was doing a very long road trip, like driving back home to Idaho and doing like something like that, I would rather be on version 13. But version 14 is way closer to RoboTaxi than we've ever been before. But so, yeah, I mean, as far as like wide release, I'd say anybody who has like, I'd feel comfortable rolling it out to anybody who has like the advanced software tab open on their car, because if you've gone deep enough into your Tesla and like to do that, I think then yeah, you should probably have access to that. But for other people, like my wife and my mom, like my wife, for example, she drove it one time and she says, I hope it's not sent to my car like this. Like that was her feedback. I was just like being blown away at every move it makes, but she just cares about smoothness. You know, she doesn't really care about most of the other stuff. It's the in-between drive that she cares about. She wants to relax and have a cup of coffee on the way to work. And this version is more difficult to do that with. But on the other hand, it feels like full self-driving is becoming alive for the, I mean, it's had hints in the past, you know, and I know like the very first day I've had version 13, it like pulled into a supercharger and backed itself in and did a great job and it was amazing. And then it just never did it again. So like, that's why I have to keep using it to kind of calibrate where we're currently at right now. And the more that I use it and the more experience I have, the more I'm blown away. But yeah, that's basically my feedback so far.
That's fact. The imagery that comes through my mind when you're describing that, JD, is like a person who has been asleep for like 1,000 years, and then they suddenly wake up, and then people are like, "We gotta get out of here." He's like, "Oh my god!" And then they go and drive. It's like, "Ah, I know how to drive, but I just can't." You know, that's sort of.
That's exactly that's right, and that's one of my wife's. Like, you truly feel that when you first start it. Like, if you're in a parking spot and you hit start self-driving, like it scared my wife. Like, it'll just like, "Oh, we can finally back up. Let's go." You know, like, and she's like, "I don't like this. I want a more relaxed experience." So it definitely feels like that. It feels like version 13. On 10 cups of coffee, who's seen some shit, is what it feels like to me.
I love that. Sawyer, let's bring you in. What's your overall thoughts?
Yeah, so I have a 2026 Model Y launch series with the front bumper camera. But I've actually never been able to take part in sort of these early FSD releases, because this is the first update I've really gotten on FSD since I took delivery of my car back in early April. I think the last FSD update we got was, what, like December of last year? So this was a long wait. And I think a lot of people were wondering, is this going to meet the hype that Elon was hyping up? This is going to be a 10x improvement and, you know, parameters and whatnot. And I think mostly it does meet that hype. I will say that there are some glaring issues with the brake stabbing, as you guys mentioned. I think, Chuck, you're right. It's not fair to call it a phantom brake because it feels different. It feels like quick, rapid succession brakes, and then it just quickly starts going again. It's unlike braking issues that I felt before in the past. So there's that issue. And then you're right about the lane changes. It just doesn't want to do it in the same way version 13 does. So I would, like JD said, I would encourage people to just like be fine with FSD version 13 for now and wait for these things to improve, maybe in 14.2 or something, because 13 is currently smoother overall. But I think version 14 to me feels like a real step change for point A to point B travel, for point to point travel rather. Because for the first time, we're finally able to consistently and reliably, I find, to go from a parking spot, put in your destination, hit start, and it'll drive you all the way to your destination and self-park pretty reliably, that I find. That wasn't doable with the FSD version 13. So it's been really good for me. After I saw your video, Chris, doing the drive-through, I had to test it myself. And for those curious, you can't set the McDonald's as your destination. You have to start going through the drive-through and then enable FSD. But somehow it's able to stop at the order station. I don't know how it knows. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Last night I attempted to hold my hand out the window so the repeater camera would see my hand, sort of so it would know that to not proceed forward. And it seemed to work because the guy took like a minute to respond to take my order. And the other times it was starting to go too quickly. So I'm wondering if it's just watching your hand or something. I don't know. And then it proceeded to the pay station again. The guy took way too long, put my hand out the window, and that seemed to help for some reason. So that's interesting. But yeah, FSD version 14 is wild. It feels very different. It feels like a different personality versus V13. And I can't wait for other people to get it because it's pretty mind-blowing. It's pretty wild. Yeah.
I think what's interesting from this discussion. So I have a Cybertruck which doesn't have a V14, and then we have a Hardware 3 Model Y Performance from 21. There you go, Chuck. Those are my cars. There you go. And unfortunately, I don't have V14, but I've been able to watch all of y'all's video. The one that really just I still can't believe the drive-through video. Just I've been trying to figure out, like, as you went through it. Like I've been in my head, I'm like, okay, is it the microphone? Is it like the conversation that's happening back and forth? Is it the cabin camera that's watching you, sort of like, you know, you have your credit card in your hand and you don't have your credit card in your hand? The arm coming out and just kind of resting there is a fascinating one that I haven't thought about before. But I do wonder, like, that's the kind of stuff to me that it's so hard to convey to the, let's say, the layman person that doesn't follow this stuff closely, how big of a deal it is that they didn't train for a car to go through a drive-through and with context clues it knows how to, you know. So I'm glad to hear that it's just as mind-blowing for y'all as it was for me watching it from the, you know, from the outside. Chris, I saw you came off mute. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, sure. I just to add to what you're saying, I did do a few more, you know, drive-throughs, because you can't just have the one and be like, oh, it works, you know, of course. And I've had a lot of small fries lately, which, you know, that's great. But one of them, I literally ordered a water because I don't want to spend any money. People are going to bag on me for that. But it seems, I don't know exactly how it knows. My best guess, you know, like people have been saying, is the mics or something with the card going back and forth. But I had a few today, where it didn't do it perfectly, but it still did it like really good. So, I mean, I'll go through one of them really quick. I'll post these videos eventually. I have so much footage. But I pulled up, this was Tim Hortons. It pulls up to the speaker and there's a car in front of me, but there's enough space. FSD can keep driving. It could have completely drove past the speaker. It lines me up perfectly with the speaker. I do my order. It was super short, just a coffee. It was a super short order. I say, thank you. He says, thank you. The car just sits there. I roll up the window. The car just sits there. Then I start talking to myself. Thank you. Please pull ahead. order complete. You know, let's go. I brought up Grok and I was like, could you please pull the car forward for me? And it's like, oh, I don't have the ability to, you know, and it didn't move. So I touched the accelerator. It moves forward. And then again, it lines itself up with the window. Do everything. It waits there. And then it doesn't want to go again. So it's like mostly there. And to be fair, I want to throw out, this is not an advertised feature. You know, Tesla's not like, now you could do the drive-through, but it's working, it's happening. And so any little amount of polish, if they add to the end of drive button, you know, parking garage, parking lot, charger, drive-through, then, you know, you're going to have that ability. So it's not fully baked, but again, it was never advertised as working, and it does mostly work.
That's so fascinating to me. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
So I just put in the studio chat, Farzad, a reply from Ashok from back in July. And I'm wondering if this is why. So he says the car can see transaction happening using the repeater and pillar cameras. Hence, FSD proceeds on its own when the transaction is complete. So this might be why we're sort of seeing better response with this.
That's probably interesting. The original post author deleted their post.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it was, but
it was me. X has been messing up really bad for me lately, where I go to post something and then it just disappears. Sorry, I don't want to go off on a tangent. And it's not my drafts, it's not anywhere. And so then I go post it again, and literally like 5-6 hours later, it puts the original post and it just looks goofy. And I didn't know that happened. I didn't know he responded to it. And I think Elon had responded to the other post of it or reposted it or something. And so I deleted this original one. Ashok did put this under the other video, just so we all know. Anyway, yeah, it still doesn't explain the speed. The one part of the drive-through, I don't know if we want to be stuck on this for too long. The one part of the drive-through that's been working for me consistently the whole time is pretty much the speaker. It stops at the speaker almost every time. It goes when I'm done, at least within a few seconds.
How does it know it's a speaker? Like, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? It window, stopped. Okay, I can sort of understand that. But yeah, the ordering station is very different from place to place.
Yeah. Can we just in case people haven't seen this video, I want to play your video real quick, Chris, just to get everybody up to speed. So this is actually, I don't know, I recorded a video using your video yesterday, by the way. I gave credit and everything, but I gave you a little, I gave you a little for not donating. Oh, I was giving you a hard time.
Oh, yeah. More is coming than that. Don't worry.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Let me go ahead and pull up Chris's video. So in case you're not familiar, make sure you go follow Dirty Tesla on X and follow all these guys on this live stream. They all make phenomenal content around not just FSD, but the Tesla sphere and other things as well that they love to cover. Where the hell is this thing? There we go. No, this is the ambulance one, which is also pretty fascinating. This is the pedestrian. Sorry, guys. I'm just looking for the video. Do you have a direct link for it, Chris, by any chance? I don't know why it's so hard for me to find this thing right now. Oh, there we go. Found it. Okay. Got it. So here's the video. I'll play with audio as well so we can all enjoy Chris's commentary. So this is the video we're talking about. And I'll fast forward a little bit just so we can go at the beginning here. All right. Is the audio coming through?
So no arm here. No, thanks. I'll just take a small fry.
Small fry?
Yep.
Would you like to donate $1 to help children in foster care today?
No, thank you.
Can we
all right, thank you.
What a terrible person, my God.
Bro, who's doing their charitable donations at Wendy's?
No. Let me write this down for my taxes.
Get up to the window, though.
And I love this.
How does it know? How does it know? I can't believe it.
Stop at the window.
So it does this consistently, this thing, right? The window?
Hi, 264.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. How will it know when to go?
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's not me.
Not me leaving. Oh my gosh. It's still, how does it know?
Yeah, have a great day.
Thank you, you too.
That's crazy.
Oh my gosh, I didn't roll up the window or anything. How does it know? What the hell's going on in this place?
I do want to add, what's interesting about that one is she handed my credit. You can hear her say, don't leave without your card.
Yeah.
I handed the card. She handed me my card back and then handed me the food after that.
Yeah.
It's just the end of the data.
It's even crazier. She actually gave you the food first and then the card. You got the card second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. My bad. She handed me the food and then later handed me the card. That's right. Yeah. It wasn't all at the same time. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just fascinating stuff. That video, like I said on X, it's been living rent free in my head for like so long because, you know, it's like you see that and it's obvious that these guys are taking a very different approach in how they're solving it. Now it's about ironing out all the corner cases and getting it to be like feature complete. And that's actually one of the questions I had. Actually, before I do that, Sawyer, did you want to jump in?
I was just going to say, I went to four different drive-thrus, whether it be Starbucks, McDonald's, I went to all of them and it correctly stopped at the ordering stations for each one. And all of them were quite different, so I don't know how it's doing this.
So are there other examples of that kind of behavior that is like emergent or however we want to define it that you guys have encountered that's similar to the drive-through that maybe you haven't posted on video yet? And I'll sort of wait to see who wants to come off mute because I'm curious to see if anybody has any anything there. So the drive-through one is the craziest example. Oh, JD, you want to go?
Yeah, it's not probably as crazy as an example, but something I noticed when traveling in robo-taxi is generally it tried to find a good place to pull over to get out of the way of traffic. And it was really something I paid attention to because when I was in Austin, there were Waymos operating in the same areas, and I would see them stop in very inconvenient locations, like right in the middle of parking stalls and parking lots where there's people waiting to back up and the car's just stopped waiting for its passenger. And they literally have to walk. And it takes a long time, you know, and they're just fine stopped there. And I've noticed when I brought version 14 to Berkeley, I had it on like the robo-taxi mode just so that it wouldn't pull into people's driveways. You know, it kind of just pulls up to the curb or whatever. You can kind of feel it trying to figure out the best place to pull over to not block traffic. And there doesn't even have to be traffic actively flowing. But I have a video posted where it pulls up right to the address, right onto the right-hand side of the road as far as it could, realizes there isn't enough space, kind of goes to the next available house and pulls over as far as it could and realizes there's still not enough space, and then decides to pull to the other side of the road and back along the curb to get fully out of the road. And it was just like, it's like, it's better than my RoboTaxi experience, actually. It seems to be doing it much more consistently. And that's pretty insane. I don't know how it, like, I don't know how it knows to do any of these things, if that's something that they like trained it to do. Same with like the drive-through. Maybe it's just looking at like the screen saying order complete and like your total. And it's like, oh, okay. Like I know what that means. Every time the order total pops up on the screen, the human driver moves forward. So I'll do the same thing. You know, like we don't know, I have no idea what it's looking at. But yeah, I think that one is absolutely incredible because that's, especially the not blocking the road and not blocking traffic, that's something current autonomous cars have a real problem with. And it's really nice to see that. I don't know if it's completely, I don't have enough experience to say if it's like solved or whatever, but at least it's way better than what's out there right now.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of my biggest things with Waymo. You know, Waymo, fantastic product, but like that experience still sticks out to me where, you know, we would try to go Terry Black's and then it just kind of just dumps us in the middle of the road. I'm like, okay, this is fun. Quick, Chuck, I'm going to throw it to you here next, but the beards, only Mr. Chuck is missing. I'm guessing that it is a job requirement for him. Thanks, guys. So we have another pilot in the comment section. Thanks, Ron. Go ahead, Chuck. Funny.
I was just going to add, you know, my experience on parking has been mixed. And I put it out on X. I don't know if you guys recall seeing it. I put a little kind of a patisserie location with angled parking spots that's usually in a busy village. It's pretty hard to find parking. And it did the proceed around the block logic like you think it's doing. And then it decided to turn down an unmapped road, which was actually the alley behind the restaurant. And it was flooded. My Model Y went off-road on the video. I'm like, oh my God, I should be in the Cybertruck. I even scraped the underside of my car on one of the potholes it went through to get back in here. And then it was like, oh, wait a minute. We're close enough to the POI. Let's just back up. And it basically backed up and parked at the, what you would call the delivery access at the back of the restaurant versus a parking spot. So to answer JD's logic, it definitely felt like a radius from the point of interest. And it was like, well, I'm going to stop here and park. And then I was like, well, that's definitely not anywhere anyone would want to get out of a car. But it does introduce these other thoughts of what is it thinking when it's finding a spot. First available kind of feels like it. If it's not a first available, that it keeps on going. I think Devin even had a 20-minute video Elon reposted or commented on where it drove around for 20 minutes looking for a parking spot. And then mine parked in a handicap parking spot, which opens up a whole other can of worms that we need to think through. Now that it has this end of drive logic, you know, are we going to, okay, handicap is kind of a legal one, right? You got to have a legal right to be there. But then you get into the staff parking, you know, diamond members only and all that sort of stuff, and you're like, I don't think we're ever going to get there, but we might need to solve the handicap. There are colors, there is standard signage and things like that we could think through and work towards. But once you add these new functions, and I'll call beginning and end of drive a function, it does open up the mind as to where we're going on this and then how it's working and how it will continue to choose. So a little bit of good and bad with my parking scenario just for that one clip. Most of them have been pretty good, but that one parking behind the alley was just really bad.
No, thank you for that. JD and yeah, then Sawyer.
I just had to point out, like, if you were to tell me 2 years ago that these are the kinds of things that we'd be critiquing of full self-driving, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on the driving profiles, because for the first time, we can't set our own max speed on the highway or anything else. And I was noticing when I was on the highway, you know, in hurry mode, it's going quicker than I would typically like. It was, I think, going 82, 83, when I typically like to go, you know, like 78, 79. And then we have a new sloth mode, which is even below chill mode. And that, what I noticed when I went all the way from hurry down to sloth, it's quickly slowed down to 65 on the highway. So it wouldn't really go above that. So I'm curious if you guys miss the sort of being able to customize your sort of speed profile, or do you just, you think it's fine just having these four profiles?
I'm actually, before somebody answers that, let me actually bring in Jordan super chat here, $5. Basically along the same exact train of thought. I use the scroll wheel to adjust speed, especially when coming into small towns, 55 to 25. Does 14.1 fix this to avoid speeding tickets? Cheers. It sounds like it does the opposite. It removes the ability to do that. So who wanted to jump on Sawyer's question here?
I'll start just a little bit and I'll let others jump in. Phil Dwan from Tesla even commented on this. So let's bring in an actual Tesla authority that made a post that said they decided to delete it because the max speed ended up being too complicated. So we deleted it. The best part is no part line was thrown in there also. So it does feel like a snip a problem type of approach that's going on here. A lot of people seem concerned about this because you truly do not have control. Sloth mode feels like speed limit mode and everything's a scale above that. But does that mean we're 100% reliant on what we know is a poor map data layer in order to set these speeds? And in a scenario where a mismapped speed, you know, you have no control over fixing it other than disengaging. So I do think it's an interesting thing we have to think through.
Yeah. So the problem comes in is that the car doesn't always have the right speed limit, which has always been a thing. You know, we've seen that forever, but now you have no way besides disengaging to take over for that. So an example I just posted, I didn't even bring this part of the equation into it, but I'm testing school zones. And I'm doing that later. And it sees the blinking school zone sign. First time I've seen it do it in this area. It's right by my house. And it changes the top speed to 25 miles per hour. I had it in standard mode, but it brought the speed way back down. I was like, oh, this is great. But a few seconds later, for whatever reason, it forgot it was in the school zone or however you want to phrase it. And it put that top speed back to 45. If I had a way to cap the top speed, okay, cool, I could do that. It still is a mess up, whatever. But now even in sloth mode, if it thinks the speed limit's 45, it's going to go 45 because that's the sloth mode, which I would not call that sloth mode. On top of that, my wife Stephanie was driving her 2023 Model Y through a construction on the highway, which it was at night. There were no workers or anything, but it was 60, you know, posted 60, regularly 70 miles per hour. She had it in chill mode and it was going 78. So she ended up, she did put it in sloth mode and she said that brought it back down to about, I think what Sawyer said, about 65, which still is speeding, you know, in that area, which is pretty concerning. And there's no way, you know, for us to have control over that. And you know what, if it's unsupervised, that's a different story, but it's not, we're responsible. And, you know, his comment that you just brought up, Chuck, was a repost from a whole conversation of him and Omar and Elon and Ashok all crapping on me. Because I had said like, hey, we need to do something. I had gotten something slightly wrong in the beginning of the conversation, but they're all like, no, you don't need this. And no, we do. I mean, we need it. So it's concerning for me to be honest.
Go ahead, Judy.
I think it's very obvious that the overall goal is zero human input, any human input they consider error. So, I understand this is painful for a lot of people, and I have problems with it too. It still speeds down this local road that it's like, it's a 25 mile an hour road, and there's a lot of animals in the area and stuff, and it's typically going 30, 35, which I don't like. But the thing that this does, I think, is it's like bringing all of these issues to the surface. I think we're going to hear more and more complaints about it, and that'll probably be the next thing that they work on. You know what I mean? But like, I think the overall goal is obviously, you're not going to be adjusting the speed from the back seat. They have to like figure it out. So I think they're just removing. I mean, I remember when they deleted it one time, then they brought it back. I don't think it's coming back, to be honest. I think that they are going all in on robotaxi, and I think this is going to make the issue surface better. I think there's people are going to be loudly complaining about it. I think that's probably a good thing in the long term for the feasibility of robotaxi.
Yeah, I think the landmines that Tesla's going to have to navigate here is that if they're waiting for customers to surface this to the area, and then people like, you know, to Chris's point, if they start getting tickets left and right from before, or you know, Chuck's point from before, it's like, okay, so you're figuring out the speed limit thing, totally get it, but then the owners are paying with the tickets, you know, so it's like it's kind of like, okay, I definitely understand the thought process, but it, like the thing that really is weird to me is like the car knows how to navigate drive-throughs a lot of times, but it doesn't know how to do speed limits, and it's been doing speed limits for how long? You know, and that's like a weird. I wonder why that is. You know, I don't know if anybody has an answer for that, but that's strange.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do think that this opens up another kind of a segue. Maybe I'll just take it here about some other things that came with this release, including a new alert about increased attention required. That's a new alert we got here. And the first time I saw it on my very first drive was approaching railroad tracks. I'm like, whoa, increase attention required. This isn't pay attention to the road. It's an alert saying you need to pay attention more, which is the segue to SAE level 3, which means you have to be in the driver's seat, but you need to be available to take over or assist if the car says it needs more attention. So in my opinion, we are a flip of a switch from SAE level 3 if this alert is the path to it getting good at knowing when it needs help. So as we go down this path that JD was alluding to with no input, we're going towards autonomy. The path to autonomy, at least for car owners, not robotaxi businesses that are owned by Tesla, is through SAE level 3. We're not going to go from 2 to 4, in my opinion, without going through some sort of 3 where we're going to let you look at your phone and watch Netflix in the front seat. And give the car that responsibility, but use this new alert about, I need you to help me here, and get really good at when it gives you that alert. I don't know if you guys saw that alert, if you are in the same mindset that we're going through SAE level 3 or not.
I agree 100%. I mean, I think that was my takeaway from seeing that. I'm like, why? So the logical thing here is, like, if you're asking the driver to, hey, I need your help here to pay more attention, by default, when that is not there, you don't need me as much. And so by default, that means that over time, I'm not going to be needed in a lot of situations. So I think you said a flip of the switch, like how far, just based on your gut feel and what you've experienced so far, and we know there has to be like things solved around the edges here with smoothness. How far away are we really from?
I think we're on the version 14 for sure, for SAE level 3. I don't see any issue, because listen, what if my scenario about I don't have enough cameras, if we want to go down there, but I don't have a facial camera, so I can't go there. If it says increased attention required, they've solved it for SAE level 3. If it gets up to an unprotected left turn, or the traffic's too fast, or it can't see, all they got to do is tell me. It solved that problem. But to go from there to 4, we get into transfer of liability. We get into a lot of regulatory. Can you do it in this state and all that sort of stuff? So 3 is easy with what I think we just got with version 14, having the start and end of the drives and the ability of telling a driver in the seat, I need you to help.
And just, I want to make sure I define this very, very clearly, especially for the people that are not familiar with the terminology. So, and I know you mentioned this, SAE level 3, what we're basically saying here is that there are times where you will not be needed to pay attention to operate the vehicle, but you still need to be in the driver's seat, ready to take over at a moment's notice when the car needs your help. Right. So that's
yes. And the car tells you when you need help. It's not like you need to be a pay attention to save the day. Theoretically, SAE level 3 is when the car asks for it. You need to be there and ready.
Yeah. So does that mean that when you make that statement, it implies that what you've seen so far says that there are moments or parts of your drives, I'm guessing majority of parts of your drives, where you feel comfortable with the car having a safety level just as good, if not more than you, to trust the vehicle? Is that a fair representation of what I just said?
For me, yes, and especially on highways today. Let's take out the braking and the harsh stuff, but let's say they've already demonstrated on 13.29 the ability of safely operating for thousands of miles. For me, at least just recently on a road trip up to Massachusetts and back, it gives that level of confidence. And it also, you can feel the braking, the tap, 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 tap. To me, it's thinking, this is tough. That might be exactly where these increased attention required alerts go. You know, something's happening here. I need you to help. I don't think we have enough of these increased attention, so I don't think they've built this out yet, and I'm not saying it's ready right now, but once they get that function finished, maybe it's 14.3 or maybe 14.4 or beyond, I feel like they've got everything they need to go to a regulator and say, we're ready to go to level 3.
That's very interesting. Go ahead, Chris, please.
Okay, no, sorry. I just want to say, I think Chuck totally nailed it. I 100% agree with what you're saying, and that it's the beginnings of that thought process. It makes perfect sense, and we know the cars are there. And I want to add to that, I want to add two things. Number one, where I'm seeing these, increased attention things, for me, they've been kind of random, to be honest. I've gone over train tracks, it hasn't shown it. I notice it popping up a lot when I'm like coming up to a red light. Like, I don't know why. And then it just goes away after a second. I haven't found any consistency in why it's telling me to do that. I've gone through construction zones and it hasn't popped up. So I just want to throw that out there so everybody knows. The other two other things I wanted to say, which are kind of related, is it's funny because number one, you're saying that you're it's kind of opposite for me and you, the experience with that. You're saying your parking is kind of mine has been like perfect. There's been a couple where I'm like, why would you choose that? But other than that, I mean, it parks everywhere I go. And then the last part that I wanted to throw in here has totally left my brain, so I'm just going to shut up.
It's the beard. JD and then Sawyer. JD, do you agree with the statement here from Chris and Chuck that this current version at some point, V14, will get us to unsupervised self-driving, SAE level 3 in situations? Do you see that from your standpoint?
Yeah, I would say 100%. I think version 14 is proof that it's definitely possible. Definitely agree with everything Chuck said. It's a tough problem. I've been trying to figure out why it tells me to pay attention sometimes and others not. I've had the same experience as Chris, where sometimes it pops up coming up to a construction zone and sometimes it doesn't. I've noticed that typically when the speed is higher, like 30, 35 or more, it's more likely to show for things like railroad crossings and construction zones. And then when it's already going slow, it doesn't pop up as much. Like, I think through all of my drives through Berkeley and the narrow hills where I go to stress test it, I don't think it popped up a single time, which is kind of odd. You'd think that's a place where it would require a super, like a lot of attention, but I think it's just going slow enough where it feels pretty confident in what it's doing. So I don't know if there, I haven't, you know, don't have enough experience to see if there's a rhyme or reason there yet, but totally see the path to being able to chill out a lot more on the highway. And I think once that switch is flipped, that's going to make a lot more people pay attention to self-driving when they're on the freeway, you know, going home after a long day of work, and they look over and they see somebody chilling. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait.
No pun intended, right? Pay more attention to unsupervised. Get it? Sawyer, same question to you. Do you agree that V14 will get the Tesla vehicles to SAE level 3 unsupervised?
Yeah. I didn't feel that way so much with V13, but I think that's fair to say with V14. I did see that notification pop up that Chuck saw with increased attention. I was pulling off a highway into a yield area, and there was oncoming traffic from the left. It said increased attention required, and then it went away once it proceeded. But yeah, it FSD version 14 feels like a step change. It just needs to polish out some of the brake stabbing and a few other things, but it definitely feels like a much, much better overall in terms of capability than previous versions.
Go ahead, Chris.
If you want to expand on that, go ahead. But I remembered what left my brain. It came back. It was about the brake stabbing. I think we should probably touch on that for a minute, because we did, I think we all mentioned it in the beginning, but I think it's a big thing people are really curious about. And there's a couple of things I want to say. For me, I don't know about you guys, it's always happening at really low speeds. I would say like below 20 miles an hour is really the only time I'm experiencing it. So I've seen a lot of people like, oh my gosh, this is a huge safety concern. Someone's going to rear end you. Like, if someone is tailgating me, you know, and they're looking at their phone and it happens, I'm sure it's possible, but it's been really low speeds. It's not something, and the car's not stopping. It's just like on, off, like in one of the examples I showed in a video, you can't even see the speed changing. It's happening so fast.
It doesn't come across very well on video. It's true.
You can't see it very well. Like sometimes you can see my camera sway a little bit or something. But it is a very harsh feeling. Like when you're sitting there, it's a very like, oh, like feeling, but you can't see it that well. The speed doesn't really change. So I don't want people to think this is like the car's going from 50 miles per hour to zero. You know, that's not what's happening for me, I'm going to say. On top of that, I've always been a little skeptical of this, but I'm starting to believe everybody that when Tesla does these newer rollouts, they kind of dial up the caution of the vehicles. I always thought that was kind of like, I don't know. It seems silly, but every time we get these big updates, it happened with 13. I remember it's happening now around pedestrians. For me, the car just does not want to go anywhere near pedestrians, that's fair. That's fine. I have no problem with that. It's just, that's where I'm noticing a lot of these things happening. And so, you know, when people are like, oh, they're stopping the rollout, blah, blah, blah. This is something I could see like 14.1.1 and it's gone. You know what I mean? We've seen these things before with new big releases. So I don't think it's an end of the world thing. It's not something that is going to be causing accidents all over the place. But it is something that currently, you know, does happen. For me, it's always been so far below about 20 miles an hour.
Fascinating. JD, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, I think another big reason we're seeing these little micro breaks is, I don't know if you all feel the same way, but I feel like the reaction time of version 14 is insane. Absolutely. I feel like it's not just the second things happen. It's like the millisecond things are happening. It's reacting. I posted that video driving through Berkeley where it was going around a corner and there was somebody backing out of their driveway. And you can see he was backing out. The car was slowing. It was showing on the path planner that it was slowing. The car stopped, and then the path planner went forward. And then the second he continued backing up, the car braked hard because he was continuing to back up. And it's like, the more I watch that video, like frame by frame, it is wild how quickly the car is reacting to that stuff. And I think that's a major, one of the major reasons we're seeing these little micro brakes is because the car is considering so many things so quickly. Like where version 13 felt smoothed out, like it would kind of wait for the situation to develop a little bit more before getting into the brakes. Version 14 is like, I'm braking now. Even on the highway, when there's traffic slowing in front of me or something, or, you know, there's somebody doing something weird, like it's reacting to it immediately with no hesitation, which can sometimes feel a lot less smooth sometimes than version 13, but you can seriously feel it reacting insanely quick. I don't know if I'm the only one who feels that way, but like the reaction times have been wild for me.
Yeah. I saw nods from everybody when you were saying that.
It's reaction time and perception are both in sync so fast. It's unbelievable. I touched on it in the beginning, but I think this is another really good topic we should talk about for a minute, because it was always this thing where you see stuff and you're like, are you gonna, oh, okay, you did it, you know? And it's this thing where like you start thinking about it and then FSD does it, right? Now it's turned into FSDs reacting as that thought is entering your brain or even before. And so I commented on the car made a right turn and somebody starts opening their car door. And it's like, right as that car door starts opening, it was kind of a harsh brake, a little harsher than it really needed to. But there was another car coming from the opposite. So we couldn't go around the door opening. We did have to stop, but it's just, oh, the reaction is crazy. And so it can feel a little abrupt because it's kind of getting to the point where this thing can make decisions faster than you, or even if it is the same time that you're thinking about whatever decision is happening, the car is already acting on it as well. And so part of, and I've talked about this throughout the years of using this software, part of the comfort level of this, of using this stuff, is that how much you can anticipate or expect what's going to happen. And so if you're driving, you anticipate and expect everything that's going to happen because you're the one controlling the braking and the going and all of that. When the computer starts making these decisions so quickly that, as JD just said, you don't know that it's braking for something in the environment happening until it's already happening, or a half a second or a second later. So you interpret that as, whoa, that was abrupt. And maybe it was, but it's just, it's all happening so fast. You can't think at the speed of a computer. And that's kind of what I've been waiting for out of FSD basically this whole time. I've always said, like, it's a computer. Why am I seeing and reacting to these things, you know, even a half a second before it? And we're kind of past that now. Like I said, I personally feel like I need more miles to really like be able to say like, yes, it thinks faster than I do. But if it doesn't, it is just as fast as I'm thinking. It's really crazy. It's one of the best parts of this update for me, for sure.
That's really good to hear, because one of the theses I've had from the very beginning since FSD started coming out and it started going through updates, one of the things we would constantly hear was, you know, it needs additional sensors. It needs LiDAR, radar, etc. I know, Chuck, you've said, you know, the bumper camera definitely takes you much closer to where you want to go from like a actual, let's say, the gaps that needed to be filled. But it was way past that. People were saying, no, you need a lot more. You need a lot more. And the experience I've always had with FSD is it's not that it doesn't see it. It's that it doesn't make the right decision on what it sees. It's less about what it sees and more about the decision. And here, and so like listening to that, what it tells me is that that has been let's just say 100% solved. But it's obvious that was the gap that needed to be closed, was the reaction on what it saw versus if it's able to see it or not. And even those videos that you showed, I think was it you, Chris? It was the ambulance that was coming down. I think it was that one. It's like, yeah, it's like I don't even see it, and the car's already pulling over. You know, it's like, okay, so it sees it better than I can. What else do I need to say? There's enough photons coming into the camera that are shaped like an ambulance that it's like, oh, ambulance, I gotta, you know, with the lights on, oh, I gotta move over, right? And it's like, if you really think about it logically, it's like, of course that would happen, obviously, because the computer, that's what it's supposed to do. That's its job. Its job is to look and then make a decision on what it looks. Us, we're like freaking daydreaming about burgers, and there's a phone ringing, and you know, you might have a kid crying in the back and some guy flipping you off, you know, on the left. It's like, there's all these things going on. The computer's just focused on driving, you know? Chuck, go for it.
Yeah, I had one of those ambulance experience also, and it was definitely pulling over before I saw it also. The reaction time, to reiterate, is wicked fast. In some situations, could you say maybe too fast? And or is this where you need to round off that deceleration curve so we don't feel it as much? You need to think about it. Many of you have heard or understand what the trolley problem is, and it's one of those AI things that you think through about what does a car do if it's got two bad scenarios and no good scenario out of it. You know, you do feel like it's going through the trolley problem in each of these scenarios that we're noticing this braking. I also will, now that Chris mentioned it, think it is mostly low speed. I do feel like it's looking for people running a red light. Sometimes when it's turning right on red, it's kind of like it's like it's worried about things that could happen rather than what it actually sees. In where 13.29 and the whole version 13, I even used some quotes, you know, that even the F-ups are smooth. Well, maybe the F-ups were smooth in version 13 because it went right through them and never saw them, right? You know, it just kind of eased through it. You know, pedestrians are, to use Chris's word, it's kryptonite. It's giving them a bubble that could get shrunk. But I don't know that we want to shrink it as much as not overreact to it, right? You know, there's something we use in aviation where new pilots over control the aircraft. You know, you're like, hey, you're taking everything in, but you're reacting to everything. And actually, you need to cut the edges off of your reactions and put it right in the middle, and you're going to be fine. It feels like we're kind of in that overreaction scenario. And they got to just dial it in, which is totally software. It's totally a curve. And it's totally something that they probably already have a switch on in their cars. And to Chris's point, you know, they're going to dial it down on 14.11 or something like that if they needed to. But it's so comforting to know that they can actually see at that speed and resolution. It does bring up hardware 3 questions that a lot of people want to hear that are probably watching this live. You know, is this latency truly a hardware 4 solution? Is the camera resolution truly at 5 megapixels what we needed to get this? And does a 10 megapixel camera with an AI 5 and AI 6, you know, take it to the next level of superhuman, right? We're still just trying to say better than a human, but we want to go superhuman. I don't think we need LiDAR. I don't think we need a radar. If anything, what we're feeling with these instant reactions is validation of the occupancy network and the detail of the voxels have as a solution when you can see everything. Obviously, Sandy Monroe has said, you know, forward-looking infrared and other sensors like that could make you like Terminator and you can see through fog and things like that that you can't with cameras. But it's exciting to watch happen. And I think we're on the right path and the team has definitely got this.
Yeah, that's been the big thing. It's like the hardware 3 piece. I think if Tesla gets to unsupervised with V14, I think we all have to put a lot of pressure on Tesla to give us specific visibility. Like, I mean, we should be able to put pressure now, honestly. Hardware 3. I have an FSD Hardware 3 Model Y in my driveway. I want this so bad. And I know Tesla wants it too, because that thing, within the scope of what they're trying to achieve, it could be a robo-taxi down the road making money for the company. So just tell me, like, what's the expectation? Like, should I trade it in and get a hardware 4? Should I wait to get it upgraded? You know, I think that's going to be a big thing that Tesla's going to have to navigate through here in the next 3 to 6 months as this thing goes unsupervised. Go ahead, Chris.
I just want to throw out real quick what they have said in the past, because it's not comforting. I'm not saying it's, you know, okay, and we should let them off the hook. Keep reminding Tesla, it's a big deal, because if you have hardware 3, that means you are an earlier supporter than someone with hardware 4, right? For the 100%. Most part. And so it is very important. I just want to throw out there what they have said, and Ashok has said, is that once they get unsupervised on hardware 4, they're going to go back and do what they need to do for hardware 3. That's not a guarantee. I'm not saying like, oh, don't worry about it, don't think about it anymore. But just that's their thought process right now. That's what they've communicated to us. And it at least makes sense, because they're not going to go retrofit anything and then be like, oh man, we need this other thing for hardware, you know, for unsupervised now. So at least that can be some comfort that they have told us what their plan is. I'm not saying let off. I'm not saying it's okay, but I want people to know that that's the latest kind of update they've told us. Cause I see the question a lot of like, what's happening with hardware 3? And as far as we know, that's kind of the current talk of Tesla.
For sure. And I think, and I really appreciate you saying that, Chris. And I think all of us here I think being megaphones for the hardware 3 owners is going to be important. Because there's a fair number of them. And like you said, they're the biggest enthusiasts, if you really think about it, of this technology. And so if it gets to the point where, you know, it's going to be unsupervised, whatever Tesla can do to at least assure the customer base that, hey, everybody wins here. Tesla wins because they have a killer product that's going to make them money long term. The customer wins because they got what they promised. Everybody on the road wins because this thing's going to be safe as hell. It's a win-win-win. The classic win-win-win-win from The Office. I think it was, you know, there's a win-win-win-win. Anyway, sorry, go.
I think Tesla's going to do right by those Hardware 3 customers eventually, but I think they need to know that they can deliver unsupervised FSD on Hardware 4 first. If they need to like go to Hardware 5 or something, they need to know those things before they can start offering solutions for these Hardware 3 owners. Because you don't want a scenario where, all right, we'll upgrade to everyone to Hardware 4, and then we're like, oh, they actually need Hardware 5, and then it's just a whole big mess or something. So I think you just have to have some patience. I know it sucks, but I think they just need to figure out FSD unsupervised first, and then they'll start to offer solutions.
I think that's fair. Go ahead, JD.
Yeah.
I also think, like Tesla, yeah, just like Sawyer said, Tesla has no idea what they would need to do with Hardware 3 to bring it up. I also think the progress we've been seeing in condensing these giant neural networks down to smaller and smaller sizes, we're starting to see take effect. Like, I always had the impression in my head that if you gave the car more and more and more context, we'd see reaction times going down. But with version 14, that's obviously not the case. Way better reaction time than version 13 and a huge amount more context. So if you just kind of extrapolate that out over time, I can easily see like everything we had on at least version 13.2 this entire time being brought to Hardware 3 in the relatively short future. I know that they're all in on autonomy right now and probably not focused on that as much, but I can easily see, even right now, like an even better version of version 13 running on Hardware 3 currently. So maybe in another year from now, we'll be talking about this and they're even better at condensing these networks. And maybe the version 14 model that we're on right now is working on Hardware 3 and, you know, Hardware 4 is at the next stage. So I just think we're going to just see that over time. I think probably Hardware 3 will lag until they gets the like physical hardware updated. Maybe they're going to find limits, but currently, like, we're able to make these giant AI models run on less and less hardware. And I think that's an important metric to keep track of too.
Chuck, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's the timeline that is frustrating for the Hardware 3 owners that I've spoken with. It's just the unknowing, like, you know, hey, if it's going to be 6 months, I'm going to wait. Hey, if it's going to be 24 months, man, the life cycle of a car, especially if they're already on Hardware 3, you're starting to get into that, you know, life decision thing. And that's what's frustrating, is the definition Chris highlighted is absolutely accurate, but it's still an unknown. So you just don't know, which is why I always end the conversation going, listen, free FSD transfer is a great deal. Leasing cars can be very inexpensive if capital expenditure is good. And my mind is starting to wrap around, I don't know that I'm going to buy another car, because I get this FOMO every 2 years. And I'm like, maybe the leasing model is what's best for technology that goes this fast. It takes away the fear of depreciation of assets. And, you know, is a Hardware 4 car going to be worthless when AI 5 pops next year and the robotaxi and the depreciation goes down again? You know, we just don't know. So I guess an answer isn't coming to say when we reach unsupervised, because we don't even know what that definition to them means. Does that mean a robotaxi in Austin and San Francisco? Or does that mean in our cars that we're driving now, I can sit in the back? Theoretically, it would be the robotaxi is unsupervised, therefore they have reached it. But if it's only in certain areas that approved it, I don't know. So it is frustrating. I feel for everyone in that situation. I'm able to avoid it just by upgrading and doing things like that, but I know everyone can't. So we'll just keep fighting for you.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think the... Okay, let me ask this question, and then we'll go around the horn to see if there's anything else we want to bring up before we do a little bit of Q&A, if that's okay with everybody. You just touched on it, Chuck. So it's hard to tell when and how Tesla will define unsupervised. But if we were to say, okay, given what we know now, given that we know what we know about the cadence of updates that Tesla's likely going to go through with V14, similar to what they did with V12 and V13, what is the earliest you think Tesla's going to be at the point where they're going to say, okay, you no longer have to pay attention and we will take responsibility if something were to happen? Oh my God, what is that beautiful thing? Hold on a second. Sorry. Let's show this. Wow. Hello. How's it going? What's the doll's name?
Nope, do we have a name? She ran away. She's gone. I told her, I was like, there's a million people watching. Do you want to talk to them? Yes. She's like,
At least a million.
She heard you and she literally ran. All right, sorry.
Sorry. Let's start with Chuck and we'll go around the horn here. So what do you think is the earliest Tesla is going to say, okay, you no longer have to pay attention, and when you're not paying attention, we're going to take responsibility if anything wrong were to happen? Like, if you were to put your super guessy hat on, what do you think that is?
Let's not give a timeline. Let's just say 14.3, I think, or 4, whatever, wherever they kind of peter out on the V14 and start working on V15. I do think version 14 will get us to SAE level 3 in areas that will allow it. I don't think they need anything regulatorily for that, because the driver is still in the seat. I don't think that crosses a big regulatory threshold. So whether they can get to 14.3 by spring, I don't know. Listen, if you just use 13 as the guide, it kind of updated and went through kind of by the 6 months time frame, kind of it started flattening out the updates. The other thing is, don't forget, Austin is high definition map, right? And San Francisco is high definition map. So if they say they achieve unsupervised in Robo, that doesn't mean you can do it in Middletown America with your Model 3, right? Because if the HD maps was part of that unsupervised solution, then that doesn't mean they've solved it yet necessarily, for me saying that. I don't know. Just remember, Robotaxi is an HD map solution right now. It isn't been flipped on for anywhere and everywhere. So I don't know about a level 4. That's regulatorily implied, but maybe, let's just say when V15 gets here, maybe we'll be there. It might require AI5 though.
Chris, what do you think?
They're going to have unsupervised full self-driving by the end of the year.
End of the year.
Just to quote Elon. Yeah, by the end of this year, unsupervised full self-driving.
Love it.
I don't know. I can't.
Elon's always right.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a great answer for that, to be honest, because we do have a definition for unsupervised. He talked about, because that was always my question, like, what does unsupervised mean? Because we don't know, right? But he did say you can go to sleep in, from here. Jeez, it doesn't matter. You can go to sleep and wake up at your destination. And then I'm satisfied with that definition. That to me is unsupervised. It's useful. It gives us something where we'll be like, hey, they did it. But the other thing is liability, right? Because if they tell you, you can go to sleep and wake up at your destination, then they're liable for whatever happens while you're sleeping, obviously. So those are the things we need. When it's going to happen, the liability thing is so hard. I don't know. Chuck got me more excited with his level 3 talk, because that is easy. They don't take liability, but you can relax, let the car do everything, text or whatever you need to do. And Tesla's kind of responsible, but we know the liability is still ours because they'll tell us when to take over. So I'm not sure. It's hard to say.
Sawyer, what do you think?
It's a bit of a fool's errand, I think, to sort of predict these timelines. I think probably
that's what we're doing. Point, you're in a fool's channel, bro.
Elon's a fool. Just kidding.
I think... when they remove the safety monitor, I think, from the Robotaxi network in Austin, that's probably a real indicator that they're really confident in the system. Or maybe when CyberCab starts hitting the streets, that's when they know, like, unsupervised FSD is here. But in terms of for all of our cars, I don't know. I just throwing darts at a dartboard,
JD, do you want to... You want to cop out just like Sawyer did, or you want to give us?
No, I'm not going to do that. I wanted to ask Chuck, for level 3, in the times where that message is not on the screen, is Tesla taking responsibility in that whole definition? So, okay.
My insurance company, it's my butt in the seat, it's my whatever. That alert is to increase the awareness that I'm supposed to be paying attention. So if I fell asleep in the driver's seat and don't hear that alert, I think I'm still liable, right?
No, I mean, but mind. like before the alert happens, who's responsible?
In level 3, you're responsible no matter what. I think the nag is just going down to zero unless we tell you, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
You don't have to be looking at the road unless we do I'm even imagining something close to that critical takeover red hands a little bit more than we're getting with the slight little flashing. It's got to go up a notch to take over or at least pay attention. The startle response is a real thing in human factors. We talk about it in aviation a lot. You don't want to do bad, scary things that make people get into an accident when they react. So you need to engineer that response or that alert for takeover or attention required, I think. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, no, I was just, I always have found the SAE levels kind of confusing. It's almost like they're written by people who don't have a lot of experience with self-driving cars, to be honest. But it's interesting. Like, I would have always assumed that if the car is saying that you don't need to pay attention, that reliability would be shifted until it does tell you you need to pay attention. Like,
can I add something just really quick and then you keep going? It looks like for Mercedes level 3, they do take liability if it's level 3 while it's operating. I'm just Googling.
But we don't know if there's like a definition in the SAE levels about
what's that. The mechanism for that if you're not using Tesla insurance, though? I have no idea how that would work. I'm not going to get USAA to sign up for that, but maybe Tesla insurance would be a requirement of going there.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah. Okay. So, like, yeah, and I guess, like, it's hard to answer the question, Farzad, because, like, it's hard to get the definitions correct in my head. What I really hope they push for is level 3, whatever that means, on highways, because that's going to help so many people. I had a, like, 2-hour each way commute to work a while ago, and it was happening 4 or 5 times a week, and that would have been an absolute game changer. And there's so many people who do these long commutes where, like, that would push them over the edge to get a Tesla over any other vehicle. It's already really good, but if you can tell the driver, like, hey, you know, you can relax, you can, you know, do stuff with the screen, you can look at your phone until we're telling you you need to pay attention, would be an absolute game changer. And I feel like we are so close on highways. So even if it only worked on highways, I mean, and I think that capability is basically here as far as I'm concerned. Maybe not at higher speeds, like I wouldn't want the car in hurry mode while it's, you know, being responsible for me. I'd probably just put it on chill, but I think we're very, very, very close to happening on that. Like I don't think Tesla is gonna do it, but I think they could within this year regarding just highways and just telling you to pay attention when it's required.
Okay. Do we want to hit anything else before we do a little Q&A, if that's okay with you guys? Going once, going twice. Okay. So welcome to the Q&A portion of this live stream. If you have any questions, type question in all caps so it's easy for me in the comment section below. I've also highlighted some from the live stream that we've gone through already. But if you do want to ask a question for this wonderful panel, let us know. And if you want a question specifically directed to Chuck, you have to say Beardless Man. Okay? You have to say Mr. Beardless Man, and then I'll bring you up, okay? All right, just joking. Jim thinks in 2 weeks we're going to have unsupervised, FYI, so there we go. This is another funny one. Thank you for the super chat, Frozen Yogurt. Do you guys think FSD slows down to check out attractive or hot people like humans do? I mean, if it's stopping at freaking drive-thrus for a burger, of course. I mean, these are, you know, what humans have always loved. I just dropped something. Did you guys hear that? I don't even know what I dropped. Okay, let's bring up the first real question. Actually, here's another comment too from Devin. Devin has an awesome content on X about FSD. He's in Canada. Obstacle avoidance has gotten much better in V14. Huge improvement so far from what I've seen, sort of echoing the comments from earlier from the group. We already sort of touched on this. Who will pay accidents when we get unsupervised? This has been the conversation for the last 10 or so minutes. Hopefully that was able to give you a little bit of context in that. Okay, this one's an interesting question. $2 super chat. Thank you, Adrian. Are we hitting diminishing returns? 13.29 to 14.1. Would you guys define that we're having a diminishing returns, or are we going all out? I can't see the mute button, so I don't know.
Not at all. Yeah. I mean, we got new functions in 14. So, I mean, I have not been able to recreate a railroad test with the crossbar and things like that, but the added in the release notes with school buses, crossbars, starting at the beginning of drive, that's not diminishing returns at all. It's new functionality.
Nice.
Anybody else want to jump in? Yeah, just that combined with quicker, like way quicker reaction times than version 13 is like, yeah. I mean, it feels like they could add even more context and make the reaction times a little less intense and we'd still be fine. So I think we're still in early stages regarding maxing out this hardware at least.
Nice. Next question. What is your best realistic guess on when Hardware 5 will be implemented on Model X? Hoping for end of 2026, since that's my next planned Tesla. I believe that's what the feedback has been from the company, right, Sawyer? That late 26?
So Elon shared that Hardware 5 will start to be released maybe by the end of next year. Now, if we account for Elon time, that's more like early 27. However, it's not necessarily going to be all models all at once. And then on top of that, it's going to take a while for them to actually start building FSD versions that, you know, utilize that Hardware 5 capability. So really, you're probably looking at like late 27, maybe even into 2028 potentially. So it's going to be a little while. I wouldn't expect to see a Hardware 5 Model X maybe until like 27 more realistically. I could be wrong. Maybe the team will work really quickly and start to release Hardware 5 earlier than we think. But I think in general with these type of things, expect some delays on the timelines that are given publicly.
And don't mistake this time, the AI5 is going to be reserved for Robotaxi if there is limited production. So if the RoboCab is or CyberCab is available and coming off the line, AI5 is going to go all to that unless the, you know, TSMC is, or I think they're the ones making the chips, is able to ramp up. So a little bit, you know, I don't think you can use the AI4 ramp as a model for AI5 because you've now got a dedicated Tesla-owned fleet that is going to get first dibs on those chips.
Yeah.
The good news about it, though, is he's getting a Model X, which historically Tesla puts the newest hardware on the S and X first. So that's good.
That's true.
This is a fascinating question. And sort of like the questions we're going to start to think through as unsupervised starts becoming a reality. Can the controls be locked out so sleeping person does not disengage by accident? So like, is that a liability on its own to allow... Like, is it a problem that you would ever want a person sleeping in your car, in the car that's driving itself, when they can just accidentally hit the brake pedal, right? Because if they're in the driver's seat, you're always going to want them to be available to take over control, right? So that's a fascinating one, right? So what is that going to prevent Tesla from ever releasing truly unsupervised in a way that you can get into the driver's seat and fall asleep in the driver's seat?
Maybe you just alter the way it disengages. Like right now, there's three ways to disengage. There's the button on the steering wheel, the brake pedal, and then turning the steering wheel. So maybe you just take away one or two of those things and it fixes the issue.
Okay.
Yeah. I can see a scenario where if they ever get to the point of adding your car to a fleet and it goes around and drives in a robotaxi world, that maybe in that scenario, those would be disabled for passengers. You know, you look over at the driver's seat of a Waymo and it's like, don't touch the wheel. You know, it does seem like they've addressed it as a problem. Like that, it is a risk. So maybe there's something to that question, especially in a perhaps a deployed fleet, but not three when you need to be in the seat, not necessarily. Yeah.
I remember seeing something at the Wii Robot event of somebody riding passenger seat in a Model Y and them grabbing the steering wheel. And he said it was like unbelievable the amount of counter torque that it applied to him. And with a message on the screen, like, take your hands off the wheel. So there was no disengagement at the Wii Robot event, even for very, very hard force on the steering wheel. But I can easily, you know, they have the cabin camera and everything. And maybe if your hand gets close to the steering wheel, it'll start, you know, slowing down and be like, hey. You know, so I don't know. There's a lot of solutions to the problem.
Fair enough. This is a fascinating one. After sharp braking is smoothed out, what is the next big challenge you want V14 to tackle?
Probably the speed stuff, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
You could say parking decision making. You could throw in that handicap scenario. Can it get more precise? Can I give a precise pin drop rather than a POI for my driveway? I did have it pull into my neighbor's driveway the other day, you know, because the POI is kind of in between. Little things like that, I think, could use some refinement. Just ideas to throw out there.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and pull this one up from John Krause. Have you tried school bus interactions yet? I just followed one for a bit, but it didn't stop. Have you guys encountered that on your side?
No.
Okay.
I haven't been able to create it.
Let's do this one. This one's a little off topic, but curious to hear your opinion. Do each of you think Tesla may still launch a smaller hatchback Model 2, Model Q, or do you still think the standard on Model 3 and Model Y are as cheap and small as we go? I think Model 3 and Y is it, but there's a little part of me that's still like, are these sons of bitches saying that they're not going to put a steering wheel or pedal in the CyberCab because the CyberCab with the steering wheel and pedal is not called a CyberCab. Okay? Because, again, I go back to this thing, and I keep sounding like a crazy person. How do you marry the supply and demand for a line that's going to be 2 million units per year that's going into mass scale next year, where the regulations are nowhere near close to you being able to have that sort of production? You're just going to sit on idle production? for a brand new platform.
But the market tells us that no one wants a coupe or a coupe, a two-seater coupe. The sales for those type of vehicles aren't good. So while it's incredible for a robotaxi, for an ownership experience, people just prefer to buy SUVs, or five-seaters. So
what about Europe, now, China?
It looks awesome, and it is a Tesla, so maybe this would be sort of the exception to the rule. But in general, people don't tend to buy coupes, at least in the U.S.
I feel like if they can say $29,000 for a car that looks like that, that will also tell you when you need to pay attention. How is that thing not going to sell like crazy? You know, it blows my mind that they won't put a steering wheel and pedal in that thing. Does anybody else want to add anything else to my crazy musings?
I don't know. It depends on what they're kind of seeing internally. I feel like we're not that far away from Grok being actually integrated with the car. And I don't think, like, if it, maybe you can only own the car in certain areas and then they expand the area or whatever. But I think we're not very far away from being like, hey, I need you to back into the driveway and I need you to back all the way over this curb so that I can roll my luggage out, you know, blah, 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 and tell the car exactly what you want it to do and it being able to do that. So in that case, I don't think a steering wheel would be necessary. I don't know how far away we are from that yet, but it seems like Tesla is, you know, I think that's why they canceled the actual cheaper models, is because the robotaxi is the cheaper model. And I have no idea if there's going to be manual controls. If there is, it would obviously expand its usability to much more. Like, I don't know if it's going to be all over the US all at once, but that's kind of how I see things. Is like, I think we're progressing in AI at a rate that is really hard to understand. Even the experts kind of predicting these things are usually typically wrong, and it's happening way faster than everybody's expecting. You know, Tesla is already talking about merging Optimus and full self-driving. And like, when all that stuff happens, we're going to have a car that we can talk to, just like a humanoid robot that we can talk to like a human and have it do all these things. Like, oh, you're getting a little close on the left, you know, and it'll, you know, it's like just stuff like that.
So crazy. I forgot to ask this during our thing. So this was specifically for Chuck. Thank you, V850Z, for the 250 euro. I'm just going to ask it for the broader group. Has anyone had a safety critical intervention on V14 yet?
I'll start since my name was on it. All of my unprotected left succeeded. It was not super heavy traffic, but I didn't have one there. Not safety critical. It was all user annoyance. It chose to stop at a right on red that definitely was able to be pushed, and people were pushing. No, I haven't yet.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I would say no. I had one where I pushed the accelerator pedal because it's a really tough. You're turning off of a dirt road. It's a left turn onto a road where people are traveling 60 miles per hour. And to the right, they're coming off a hill. And so the car started to turn. There was nobody there. I was watching, obviously. And as it started to turn, someone comes over the hill flying. And so I did press the accelerator. They weren't going to hit me, but it would have just been more rude if I did press the accelerator. And actually, I just saw literally today, they posted signs that they're changing that to a four-way stop starting next month. So, and there have been a lot of accidents there. So I see why they're doing that. That's the only thing I've had even close to a safety intervention. Other than that, no.
Sawyer or JD, I saw you guys shaking.
No,
your head.
I haven't had any.
No, JD.
Nope, not a single one. It's pretty wild.
Great, I haven't either. That's because I don't have V14. Real quick, John said to clarify, the bus didn't stop. This is the school bus. It didn't stop. Not that the car didn't stop, so I wasn't able to test. Meaning, it was following a bus, and the bus never stopped. Let's do a couple more. I don't know how much highway driving you guys have done, but do you guys have any issues when going on a freeway stack interchange that is complex with V14? Have you guys had any issues with that? Or
I live right at the I-10 I-95 interchange. It's got like six lanes going both directions from one of the largest corridors in, you know, north, south, east, west in America, and it doesn't have any problems. I have not done it dozens of times. you know, on 13.29, I had a lot of preferred navigation choices where you need to be in the left lane because right around there, it's better to be in that lane. And it would take the right lane and force itself to do three lane changes. I think that's navigation planning, not FSD. And I think that's the way the planner chooses to go, which I think can continue to use improvement. But its hesitancy to change lanes, I could see as being problematic in this current build on getting over when it needs to before it runs out of time and has to remap.
Got it.
Yeah, I haven't done a whole ton of highways, but the little bit I've done have been fine. I mean, they've been really good. Stephanie did tell me that for her, it either missed a highway exit or was going to miss it, and she took over. I can't remember exactly, but she was really surprised because it's not something she's used to with version 13. So that's really the only highway issue that I've heard.
Got it. Let me bring up this comment real quick, and then we'll do one last question from Alex. Heads up, I have had some luck with driveway pull-in by updating driveway entrances on Google Maps and getting them approved. Easy to do. So just a heads up there for y'all in case that have FSD 14, that could be the solution for the driveway.
Do they use Google Maps?
I mean, if that worked, then I guess.
Well, you know, there's the version 38 that just came out that has the new 3D buildings. Didn't someone say that was Google 3D or something? That does maybe allude to it or something. I don't know.
I think it's Mapbox.
JD, are you calling Alex a liar? You know, I don't think that's the right thing to do.
I think
here.
It might be placebo. I felt like that way before where I'm like, oh, this is fixed now. This is great. And then it just does the same thing. So, like, I don't know. I've been told to update things on OpenStreetMaps and a bunch of other areas. I don't know what they use. I know, like, you know, I think if you look at the map, it says Google on the right-hand side, but they're definitely not using Google for navigation. Like, the routes it takes are very different from Google, so...
Yeah, I will throw in that with 14, with the parking options that it has now, I've never had any version try to go. So my driveway is at the end of a little dirt cul-de-sac, and every version before this would just swing around the circle. It would just like go back and drive away. This is the first version, and every single time, every time I've come home, it goes around the cul-de-sac and pulls right into my driveway. So I didn't need any updates. So 14 just can see what it needs to do, I think.
You know, let me piggyback on that because that brought up an interesting point. When it has pulled into my driveway, on my screen, it looks like complete undrivable space. So to Chris's point, you know, your car didn't pull down the driveway before because it couldn't see. FSD 14 drives into what on the screen is being displayed as undrivable space. So like it's turning right in there. And then once it gets around and down there, it can kind of see the concrete and it starts mapping it out. But when it's perpendicular, it just looks like it's all lawn.
Okay. So, okay.
So I guess I'm just saying there's
Alex
a disconnect.
Alex is not lying.
The screen is not necessarily what it sees, I guess, is the point there. It sees more than they've decided to display on the screen.
Fair enough. Okay, let's do one last one here. I don't want to keep you guys for too much longer because I know y'all have lives. So let's do one last one. So this is a fun question from John. Let's imagine FSD behavior comes perfect, but navigation and routing data stays the same as is today. In this scenario, is FSD solved and ready for robotaxi unsupervised? We'll start with Chuck and then we'll go around the horn.
So that basically means FSD can figure its way around even being given a bad route. Is what you're sort of saying there. Arguably, that's where we are in parking lots, right? You're really not mapping navigation through a parking lot. Let it's weaving its way through there. I'm not going to jump back into the unsupervised question again because I think that's the HD maps they're spending the time to do to either ensure safety or to get additional detail into the maps that they need to make those choices, I think is a differentiator that we really can't compare because we don't know, is that a safety check or is that a whole other map layer that the robotaxi has access to? And maybe even regular Teslas have access to it in those areas, but they're not high definition checking the world yet. And maybe it's validation. We just don't know.
Okay. Sorry, would you say it's done if we're at this situation? I mean, I guess it answers itself. If it doesn't need the maps to navigate, then yes.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Any last comments before we wrap this sucker up? Is there anything we missed that we should bring up?
I just have a question for JD. Where's your video, sir? We all want to see it, please.
Yeah, bro. What the hell?
I keep having to delete everything and go back. That's just typical. You know, I give my thoughts and then I take another drive and then I have a new thought and then I delete everything. And this is just par for the course. I'm definitely not a very good YouTuber, you guys. That's the reality of the situation and the conclusion that I've come to over the last few months.
You know, each one of those things can be its own video, you know?
Yeah, I know.
You got to milk it for all it's worth.
I know. Exactly. I can't do it. I got to I want to make sure I'm very confident in what I'm saying and I understand. And version 14 is a very tricky beast to understand.
That's why people love you. Honestly, I think it's that really shows through your content. I mean, all of y'all's content, all four of you take so much care. You're very careful with your words. All of you are. And that really shines through the podcast and your content as well. Very 180 of how I do, which is just bleh. Just whatever comes out, let's go. Let's make a conversation out of it. But I really do want to applaud every single one of you because I really do think, not just you guys, but so many content creators out there that make content around Tesla, FSD. There are so many out there. I encourage you guys to go check them out. Just type FSD, Tesla FSD on YouTube, and then you'll see just a bunch of different creators that come out and do excellent work. I really want to thank you guys for your time, the time you've spent reviewing the software. I know Tesla looks at it very closely as well, and they use y'all's feedback to make the software better for everybody. So I just want to applaud y'all's service, really. I mean, a lot of you, and freaking JD over here is taking up 95% of the time he spends on this shit. He doesn't even post. Crazy. You should change that, bro. Your time's valuable, okay? My God. Have some respect for yourself. But thank you guys very much. JD, Chuck Cook, Sawyer Merritt, Chris, Dirty Tesla, all of them you can find on YouTube, JD at AI Driver. Make sure you go check them out on YouTube. Make sure you go check them out on X. And thank you all very much for stopping in, and we'll see you on the next one. Love you guys.